Happy Lord's Day. It's cold across the nation. But I want to stir up your minds today to fervency for the Lord in regard to His second coming. Title of the message is The Mind You Should Have. The Mind You Should Have and Dangers of Not Having It. Lord, bless the preaching of your word today. We thank you, God. We thank you that you have come to die for our sins. We thank you that you're coming to reign, Lord. Bless the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Think about that. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revealing of Jesus. This is the blessed hope. This is Jesus Christ coming, His second coming. And we're to hope to the end. You're to know you're saved because you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, His shed blood for your sins. But this is talking about a salvation at the judgment seat of Christ into the millennial kingdom. This is that well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, the millennial kingdom. We're to hope to the end. We're not to be sidelined. We're not to faint. We're not to let sin overcome us, and now we're discouraged. No, get back in the race. Confess your sins. Hope in the Lord's mercy, and get back into the fight. But you got to gird up the loins of your mind. You can't let your mind drift. You can't let the devil control your mind, or the world, or the flesh. You've got to gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. God told Job, gird up thy loins like a man. A man would have a toga, but as we know from the Old Testament, as well as archaeology and history, men would often wear breeches under their togas. And the Bible says that, and we know from history, that when a man had to fight, if he needed to run a race, or if he had work to do, he would gird up his loins. He would take the bottom of his robe and put it into his belt and either turn his robe into a pair of pants, or maybe he'd have pants under there. But the idea is he cannot run in his robe without tripping. In the same way, if you don't gird up the loins of your mind, you're going to trip. You're going to be overcome. You cannot just let your mind drift. You've got to be in control of your mind. So to begin with right now, the mind that you should have is a mind that is under the control of the Spirit of God, self-control as well. As he says in Titus 2, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. This is a theme throughout Scripture. Are you sober-minded, or are you living in this world like you're drunk or like you're asleep? The same teaching applies to young ladies, aged women, aged men. Exhort to be sober-minded. Listen to what Peter says in his second epistle, chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now you can have a spiritual mind or you can have a carnal mind. What are you getting stirred up? What are you letting stir you? Is it stirring up a carnal mind or stirring up a spiritual mind? Well, Peter wants to write these Christians and stir up a pure mind. How's he going to do it? By way of remembrance. That you may be mindful, having your mind full of what? The world? Of your flesh? Of past sin? No, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, you're not to let these people around you, you're not to let them stir you up, stir up a carnal spirit in you, stir up a carnal mind. There's going to be scoffers. There's going to be believers that are going to say, my Lord delays his coming. They're going to eat and drink with the drunken. and they're going to mock you. They're going to try to tempt you to join where you will not be ready for the second coming of the Lord. No, we're to be sober-minded. The Bible told us in the last days there'll be these scoffers, these mockers, murmurers, and complainers. Those that separate themselves from what they need to be doing. So he closes and he says, Peter, in this same chapter, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, that is about the second coming and all that the Lord's going to do, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Led away by some spirit. What spirit are you of? By some movement, by some wind. What are you being led by? If you're right, the devil wants you to be wrong. If you're in the way, he wants you out of the way. And you gotta remain steadfast, rooted in the Lord Jesus. Do you remember when Ruth clinged to Naomi? She told her daughters-in-law to go back to their own gods. And it says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That is, Naomi tested her daughters-in-law. And when she saw that Ruth was steadfast-minded to go with her, our Lord did the same thing in regard to discipleship. People that are saved, he told them, count the cost. Count the cost. There's many called. There's going to be people that get saved, but few are chosen, that is, to reign with the Lord Jesus. If you suffer, you shall reign. Now, you got to learn. I have to learn. Our Lord is telling you, count the cost. But if you're going to be his disciple, you need to be steadfast like Ruth. But what happens if our focus is not right? I appreciated Brother Chad who sent me this verse. He texted it to me, and it's a wonderful verse. Proverbs 16:3. I was thinking about these things, and it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We need this today. Listen to what it's saying. You have thoughts. You have your thought life. You don't need extra temptations. If your way is committed, if your works are committed unto the Lord, it helps establish our thoughts. But thoughts can also mean your purposes, your goals that God's given you to do, your plans, the things that God has for you to do. And the Bible's saying, what is your purpose in life? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you go to church? Why do you try to be holy? What's your purpose for living? Well, if you've committed your works to the Lord, if everything you're doing is for God, to be found faithful, for His glory, because you love Him, for the salvation He's given you, commit your works unto the Lord. Say, this is for God. These sacrifices is for God. What I'm doing right now is for God. Even in regard to your family, loving your wife, obeying your husband, obeying your parents, all of these things are to be unto the Lord, for the Lord. Commit your works, everything you do unto the Lord, for Him, in gratitude. And the Bible says, your thoughts will be established. But if something's not for God, if you've got selfish motives, if you've got other reasons for what you're doing, it will not be established. And you're going to be unstable. We're to be rooted, steadfast. Oh, I tell you, if you have a wrong mind, it's not going to go well. A mind blowing in the wind, it's not going to go well for you. Listen to this, Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. He begins with the heart. He didn't say, my son, keep my commandments here. He said, let thy heart keep my commandments. Now, God forbid that you walk around and say, well, I'm keeping it all in my heart, though I'm getting drunk on the outside or fornicating or looking at porn or God forbid. That's not what he's saying. But things have to begin. They have to be rooted in our heart. And listen to what he says the next chapter. Keep thy heart. Keep it like a guard, like a watchman. Keep thy heart with all diligence, not just with a little diligence, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything that makes your life, everything that you do, it all begins in your heart. Everything that you will begin in your heart. So how do you keep your heart? Well, you've got to make sure that any doors and gateways, any windows to your heart, you don't allow something to come into the city and defile it. So what does he say? The very next verse, put away from thee a froward mouth. That's a rebellious person. And perverse lips, a rebellious person. Put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. There it is. Commit thy works to the Lord. Thy thoughts shall be established. Let your ways be established. It's got to be your heart. You've got to have the right purposes. You've got to guard your heart. You've got an ear gate. You've got an eye gate. It's very important. Now, first of all, if you're keeping a heart that's already carnal, that's not going to do you any good. You have to have your heart renewed. You have to cleanse your heart in the Lord Jesus. And now that you're saved and you've got a new heart, you have to cleanse it. You have to renew it. And the Bible says it's very important that if you've cleansed your heart and you've got your purposes right and you're looking forward to the second coming and you're sober and you've got a heart of love for the Lord Jesus, to be his disciple and please him, you've got to guard that. The devil wants you to turn aside. The devil wants you to have a double-minded heart where, yes, part of you wants to serve God. Part of you wants to be a good Christian. Part of you wants to be ready for him at the second coming and please him and not grieve the Holy Ghost. But if you've got a double mind, if you've got something else there that's equal, and I don't just mean temptations, we all have that, no matter what, and you'll have it till the day you die. But I'm telling you this, if you are feeding these things, if you are willfully walking in that carnal mind and stirring it up, you say, well, I try to feed my good heart as well. You're double-minded. You've got double purposes. The Bible says in James 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't serve the Lord and fear him and serve Baal. You can't love the Lord and love the world at the same time. God's not going to play that game. As the wicked song says, I want the best of both worlds. No, it's not possible. James 4 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You're to purify your heart. You say, but there's unwillful things in there. Well, don't do anything to stir them up. Cast them down and understand that you're going to have some temptations. But as the old Wesleyan preachers would say, don't let them build in your hair. The birds will fly by, but don't let them build a nest in your hair. Listen to me. Purify your hearts. What's your reason for doing what you're doing? What are you living for? Don't have a double mind. Some don't even have a double mind. They have a carnal mind. But God forbid. Let's walk in the spiritual mind as believers. Sometimes your good mind's getting choked out by the things you're allowing through the window, the gates. Let me give you an example. It says in Hebrews 11, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Talking about the patriarchs, called from the Chaldees, into a new land with new hopes, new promises. And imagine if they'd sat back and said, oh, I wish I was back there with the pagans. I wish I was back there. They might have had an opportunity to return, just like when they came out of Egypt. If they're mindful of Egypt, they wanted to return back there, even though it was bondage. And if you're going to sit around and be mindful of the sins that you left, or maybe the sins that you never got to fully experience if you're raised as a homeschool child, but the way many homeschool kids are raised today, they're just as bad as the world, and they have just as much opportunity as they bring it right into their bedrooms with cell phones and everything else. But I'm telling you this right now. If you're going to sit around and think about sin, if you're going to think about the world, if you're going to have a mind full of these things, you're going to have opportunity to end up in it. You want to listen to songs about sin? You want to watch movies about sin? You want to fill your mind and open the gate of your eyes and ears and have worldly people around you? You want to talk to rebels and scorners? You want these people around you that are saying that they're not interested in the Lord's coming. They're not living for the Lord's coming. They're not trying to better themselves and grow and be diligent and careful. You're going to have opportunity. You're going to make opportunity. The devil is going to make opportunity if you're going to have a mind full of sin and longing for sin and longing for Egypt and longing for the Chaldeans, longing for what you were before you were saved. No, we seek a better resurrection. We seek a better kingdom, a better world, the blessed hope.